Okay, the Zechanish was Avi Mori, Yaakov Yisrael Pilchas, the Zechanish was Daniel Shein, and Mishin Shofalik, and we should mention the Ptimer of Gershon Edelstein, Zatzal, to have him in mind, the Zechanish for us as well. Okay, and I'd like to mention my Hakar Satov to Rabbi Noam Weinberg, even though Bez Hashem will be coming in next year also, time to time, but this is a last official time that I'm going to be here under his leadership. So I thank his. I think this whole thing started. We were going where Ben Skidell was being honored by TABC, and we were in the car together with Dr. Fitow and Rabbi Noam, and I think that's how this whole thing began.
That's actually a great memory.
Yeah. And Bez Hashem, hopefully we'll continue Bez Hashem with good health for everybody. Amen. And it's always a big schuss to be here and share some Divrei Torah. So this is a topic that we said we were going to talk about the kvius of Kedushas Yisrael, meaning do you become Jewish because you come from a Jewish mother? Do you become Jewish because you come from a Jewish egg, even though you were carried by a non-Jewish? And this, is a very significant question. And then, of course, what makes somebody the mother? The fact that you were born from the egg of that woman, or the fact that you were carried and came through the rechem of the woman who could be a different woman. And so this is a fascinating, and the article that I always liked the best on this topic was printed in Tchumen, in Tovshin Daled Mem, by Rav Avram Yitzchak Halevi Kilov, who was, I believe, a Magid Shir in Merkaz Harav, and he maybe is not as famous as some other people you might have heard of in the Dati Lumi world, but all the things I've read over the years, this is the one that I thought hit the nail on the head from my viewpoint. So there are a lot of different Gemaras on this topic, but I think not all of them are necessarily relevant. I would like to focus on the Gemaras that I think. But he focuses on, I think, the most relevant. And, we always grew up saying you come from a Jewish mother, so that makes what makes you Jewish. But what does it mean, a Jewish mother? So usually, it's all the same. The egg, the womb. But which one is the one that really is the, I've dealt with several cases of, Talmidim who were involved in such scenarios of, say, marrying a woman who knew from the get-go that she cannot bear children, meaning that she doesn't have eggs that could, they call it Turner's syndrome, that the eggs are not viable. Uh-huh. And this woman knew, and he also knew. So no one was tricking anybody. Everyone was up front, and he decided to marry this woman. And I was involved in helping getting the eggs for, in other words, she was going to be able to carry a child. Uh-huh. But she wasn't able to have her own eggs viable to have children. And Baruch Hashem, they've had a couple of healthy children from the... But the way we did it was we used... It wasn't... we discussed this with Dov Cohen at the time. We used the woman, she's Jewish, obviously, who carried. But the eggs we got were Jewish eggs. So we didn't have any question of the gayrus.
The biological mother was a Jew.
The biological mother was
genetic mother.
Yeah.
Genetics. Sorry. You might have questions of kirva, of family relationships.
Yeah, what was funny to happen was that Rav Dovkin wanted we should get a single woman who was Jewish to get her eggs. And that's what we... So it was interesting that she was married to a guy at the time. But as Rav Dovkin pointed out, married to a guy is considered a single,
right.
You know... Wow. So we got those eggs, and then we got some more eggs, I think, later from her. And then she was getting divorced from the guy. And then I think she was going to maybe get married to a Jew, and then we had to, you know, beat the clock to get more eggs before she would marry the Jew. Because once you get married a Jew, then it becomes more complicated of using... the eggs of a married lady, etc. But that's as Shiloh was, it had its complications, but it wasn't a question of, you know, the non-Jewish eggs and then...
But you have Mamzeres issues? Like, do they have to do, like, in these particular situations, does there have to be some sort of, like...
Yeah, so, I mean, they have...
He's getting out of that problem by using the single.
Not she gets married.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So we made sure to get her. I think the second retrieval of eggs before I think she married the Jewish fellow. So let's see the Gemara. Tashma. Shnei achim ta'omim gerim. If you have two brothers that are twins, that are converts. They both converted. Both of the two twins converted. So that means that they were born. The two boys were born through a non-Jewish mother, and they were two non-Jewish boys, and then everyone converted. So they're not considered related. No one's related to everybody because everyone is considered a ger katon, ger shenolad, you know. So no one's related, no one's chayev mishum, at least on a daraisa level, to each other. So you can't have any yibum because they're not related to the father. They're not, yibum is from the same father. They're not related to the father because, the father could be Jewish, but the mother was non-Jewish, and now the kids were not Jewish, but then they converted. But they're not related to their father, they're not related to each other. So that's the first case. But one of them, Haisa Harason Shalom Bikdusha, Veledason Bikdusha. But what happens if they were, this woman was a non-Jewish woman, and she was, say, married or cohabited with a Jewish man, and the conception of the twins was when she was still non-Jewish. So harason shelo bikdusha.
Right.
The conception. So you had this non-Jewish lady who's her own kids, they're carrying these twins. And then she converts in the middle of her pregnancy. In the middle of the pregnancy, she converts. So now what's the story? So she converts in the middle of a pregnancy. So are the kids related to each other?
Yeah.
Are the kids related to the mother?
Yeah. Seems that way.
Or not? Well, what would you have said? Again, a pregnant lady. She's. Don't look at the Gemara. I don't want to know what the Gemara says. I want to know what you'd say.
Yes, the moment of birth.
So you're saying the moment of birth. Is what determines. So meaning at the moment of birth, then what?
If the mother is Jewish
mother,
then
at the moment of birth, then the kids are Jewish and they're related to her.
And they're related to her. So everything. You're saying the moment of birth is gonna put everything together. Right. Okay, let's see. So that's what, so at first glance that's what it seems what the Gemara says. So they're not going to be related to the father.
Right.
right? Because the father, because they're converts, so they're not going to be related to the father. So there's not going to be chalitz or yibum. But chayovim mishum eishes ach. But they're going to be
they're brothers. So
but they're considered
his wife is
right. They can yeah. right. They're the wives of the but they're brothers because they right. they have the same mom, and they're going to all be brothers, and they will be Jews. And what if ha'isa harosav leidosam b'kedusha? So that's the next case where she already converted before the conception. So Reil Yisraelin l'chol divrayim. So then it's you know a regular case. They're already Jews, the mother converted before the conception. Okay.
Is there any finish with that last point?
Right. It's just a
it's contrasting.
Contrasting yeah. exactly. Now, so let's see if that exactly is true. This idea that it all has to do with the. So let's. I think we have to look at one more Gemara. I want to look at together with you. And let's see on page 2, Gemara Rivamus Ayin Chesam and Alf. Nochris Muberishin is Gaira. So this to me is the most fascinating thing. You have a non-Jewish woman who's pregnant. That's like the case of Harasan Shalom Kedusha, and she converts. So Bana ain't Tzarech Tvila. In other words, he doesn't have to convert because he's going to be included in her conversion. So the Gemara says, "Am I in tzarich tefila?" So he tamed mishum the Rabbi Yitzchak. The Rabbi Yitzchak for a Torah ruv makpid alav chotzeis ruv sheinu makpid eino chotzeis. The Amar of Kana loshanu al ruv aval kulo chotzeis. So how does the tefila count for the uber inside? The mother is a chatzitza to the fetus. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Uber Dehainu Revise, that this is the normal way of maturing, of, and therefore the mother is not considered a chatzitza to the fetus. But let me ask you, according to what Rebbetzin Septimus said, right, exactly. Right, because Rebbetzin Septimus said that that you become Jewish because
you don't need it
because your mother's Jewish. Yeah. But here the Gemara is saying no. Here the Gemara is saying that there was a conversion. But why do you need the conversion of the kid? Why do you need the conversion of the kid? The mother was converted. Let the kid be a guy. But then he'll be born to a Jewish mom. So the Chora from this Gemara, it seemingly indicates that you don't become Jewish because your mother is Jewish, because the only reason why the kid is a Jew is because the kid converted also. So l'chora, so this would indicate that the what makes somebody a Jew would be toloi on the conception and not toloi on the birth. Well, but then the question is, so then how does it work? So then if the kid's converted, but then they have to go back to the other Gemara. Because the other Gemara says that the kids are related to each other. But if the kids are Gerim, then why are they related to, why are they related to the mom? Why are they related to each other? They're all... Like if you like the third case, the first case where, in other words, if you have three people, separate people all convert, they're all considered gerim, so then they should all be keger shenolad. So how does it work?
Well, how do you explain that line in the Gemara, Shani Ubar Dehainu Revite? Like,
right. In other words, that's a technical halacha in chatzitza.
Right.
That if it's the normal way of growth, that was chatzitza is something that's an obstruction that's not normal to be there. So if it's the normal way of growth, so then that's not considered extraneous, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. So that, you know, takes away the laws of...
That's what Rashi says. It's not considered chatzitza, but maybe what Lisa is suggesting is maybe you could explain the Gemara as saying he doesn't need a conversion. He's an extension of the mother. And
right, but the Gemara, right. So, but the Gemara didn't
Rashi
say
says.
That.
Yeah,
the Gemara says you needed a conversion,
right.
And it wouldn't have. Right. And in other words, it's clear from the Gemara. The Gemara, there's higher visa is a din in Hilchas Chatzitza.
Right.
When, you know, there's a whole sugya about lice is. Well, this is the season. I have one of my friend's wives. They come in from Israel, she's in charge of checking lice in the mountains. They go around from camp to camp to make sure there's no lice, and you know this is the season for checking for lice. You know, so that's the question: is lice a chatzitza? That's a whole discussion in Hilchas Chatzitza about, well, is lice chatzitza? Is not chatzitza? Body has all true. Yeah, buddy.
So maybe in the line Gershon Nolad, he actually implies that there's something that goes on after birth. In other words, we say Gershon Nolad Dami is that they're not related because as if he was born today. So maybe there's something that goes after the birth, like Rashi's Ona. In other words, even if the Jewish part goes after.
So what do you need? Birth. So what does the birth play a role?
Rashi's Ona. So in other words, we see.
What is the? I mean, there was a conversion.
Rashi's Ona.
And you need what? Do you need a conversion or don't you need a conversion? And let me show you one more thing. One more thing. There is a fascinating page 4. The Dogel Mervava talks about this halacha of the pregnant lady that converts. So it says a fascinating thing. The Dogel Mervava is the Nodi Behuda. That's on page 4. It says a fascinating thing. Kusishin is Gaiman. What if the pregnant lady is converting... Right? And the Bezdin, who's the Bezdin of the Geiris, doesn't know she's pregnant. In other words, she's not showing yet or whatever.
Wow, that's interesting.
So does the Geiris chal when the Bezdin doesn't know? So look what he says. He says, Im yodu ha-Bezdin b'shas tfila shehim u'beris hadim poshet, aval im lo yodu ha-Bezdin shehim u'beris yeishli b'zeh arichas dvarim.
She might not even know sometimes.
Yeah,
she might not
right,
understand.
Right. But if the Bezdin doesn't know that he says he has a whole arisa dvarim, and maybe, I mean, like Rav Shechter pointed out, maybe you should not. But the question then is, so what? But maybe, you know, you'll be nolet from the, so you should be Jewish anyway.
Right.
But you see that he's saying not that way. You know that maybe not, as Rav Shechter pointed out. And there's another Gemara we can, we'll maybe, okay. So how do we put this all together, right? Because the two Gemara, in other words, if we would just have learned the first Gemara, then what Rebbe Sinsaptimus said was, you know, very sound, and then we could go home already, you know. And that's what we normally think, you know, your Jewish mother. And so how does it work? Oh, so let me show you what he says, that Maimer and Tkumen. On page 13, Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kilov, what he says, and okay, let me just get the best part to show you. He quotes all that here. Okay, l'fichach nira. Let's go start with l'fichach nira on the top of page 13. Sheyesh shnei inyanim. There are two issues that we have to understand. Echad shem kashrus shu yichus ha'am. In other words, are you a Jew or are you not a Jew? What's your, what are you, what nation are you from? Hasheni kirvas mishpacha. Who are you related to? Who's your mom? Who's your... Let me show you the shame should go habal bas Israel havlad hu Israel. If there's a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, then the vlad is Israel. Ki ein yachas ben goy li Israel. Hu hadin right, so if the non-Jewish father and the Jewish mother, Vlad is a Jew, Ki'in yachas ben goy l'Yisrael, hu adin b'yachas le'en. Im Vlad ein Yisrael, ein Vlad yochel l'siyachas le'imo. In other words, you can't have a relationship. She can't be your mother if you're not Jewish. A non-Jewish fetus and a Jewish mom can't be related to each other because one is a Jew and one is a goy. Chayin Yisraelis yolda goy hoever eina nachshav benachlal. Whereas if Yisraelis would give birth to a goy, it wouldn't be her son. It's going to get clear in a second, so give me a second to make it clear. But if the fetus is a Jew, then he can be related to the person who's... So he says like this. Now, next paragraph. Now it'll be clear. So Beitzes Shel Goya, if you have a non-Jewish egg from a non-Jewish woman, Shehushtala, that was placed Berechem Yisraelis in a Jewish woman's Rechem, so Havlad Yegoy, because he's saying, you see from the Gemara that the conception was the... So if the egg, if it comes from an egg of a non-Jewish woman, then the kid is non-Jewish. That's why you need a gerus, right? In Chori, you see that from that Gemara. So if you would take a non-Jewish egg and you would put it inside a Jewish woman, so then, and she doesn't convert or anything like that, we don't convert anybody, so the kid is going to be non-Jewish and it's not going to be related to the mother, even though the Jewish mother is going to give birth to this baby, but you go with the egg, and you see that from the Gemara, because the Gemara says you needed to in order to the kid to be Jewish, he had to have been converted in the pregnancy, but if not, then he remained a guy, and then he can't be. Then he can't be related to the woman who held him, right? Who was the carrier, because she's Jewish and he's a goy. Who adin or beitzes shel Yisraelis? If you have a Jewish woman, shehushtala berechem goya, and then that egg was put in a rechem of a non-Jewish woman. Havlad Ye Yisrael. So even though he's going to be given birth by a non-Jewish woman. V'ilu beitzis shel Yisraelis achas shehushtu l'barachem Yisraelis chaverta. So what about a Jewish egg into another Jewish woman? Right? So what's... Because here she's going to become Jewish because she had either the Jewish egg, but yeah. Now she's going to be, but that woman could be her mother because she's Jewish and the woman carrying her is Jewish. So yeah,
the most common thing in Israel is Jewish people who go to offshores, like to Gruzinia, and they have a non-Jew carrying. That's really the most common thing I know of that goes on in Israel.
Yeah.
You know. So,
but sometimes they have non-Jewish eggs and Jewish carriers.
Right, right.
And
I guess, yeah.
And I was told that they don't always do conversions.
Right.
And then it could be a serious shaila, because the simple pshat of the sugya is that if you have a non-Jewish egg and a Jew would carry you, then you should be a goy.
The simple pshat of the second sukkah, but the first sukkah sounds...
Right, but...
interesting.
The first sukkah could go, yeah.
Right.
יש לא שזה זברנו אמרו כאשר הביצים הופרצו ברחם הראשון וכך הוא ואין אף כמינה אם השתולו לפני ארבע ימים אצנה, etc. So that's what that's what he's saying. So that's what he writes in the Sikkum on page 15. The Sikkum Yotzei Shav at the bottom of 15. She Yoledet he Aim Hayivlo Kasher Shneim Yehudim. In other words, a woman who gave birth to this girl, or this person, whatever, this child, is going to be the mother if the mother's Jewish and the Uber is Jewish. Aval Beitzis Mufresh Shel Goya Shehushtulo Berechem Yisraelis. But if you have a non-Jewish egg and now she's put in a Jewish womb, Ohipuch Balas Beitzis, or if the egg is he Hakovas is Dina Shel Yudlos Yehudi or Goy. So then Gamma Mikra Shestein Bivios Vachacha Hulda Yalda Vlad Achem Betchilas Afraya Vada Leda. Okay, so that's his Yisod.
How do you explain the first Gemara?
So the first Gemara, what's the case of the first Gemara? So Harasan Shalom Bigdusha, right? So Lashem Shalom Bigdusha, the Leidosim Bigdusha. So what's going to happen? So there's going to be a conversion that takes place in the middle of the pregnancy, right?
So why do they retain their familial connection?
So now these little ubrim become Jewish, but they're going to come out. But now they're going to be related to the carrier because she's the mother's Jewish, and now the little yingles are also Jewish. So then, in other words, you can only be related to the person you give birth to if you're the same
nation.
The same nation. So that's Pshat Nakamar. And the Chorus Mukhar from the other Gemara that you need to have a conversion. Because if you didn't have a conversion, then you wouldn't be Jewish just because you've been given birth. Yeah.
So when if you need a surrogate to carry the baby, then do we always ask for it to be non-Jew?
If you
Daniel Ashri, the nurse's office, please.
Well,
if a woman's eggs are intact, but she can't carry a pregnancy, then I assume based on this, she has to find.
Well, so and we're going to use the Jewish eggs. And the carrier is going to be
not Jewish. Otherwise, the carrier will be the real mom.
Right. So then you might. So if you would use a Jewish egg and a non-Jewish carrier, so according to what we're saying here,
you would need
the kid. So what we're saying here is the kid would be Jewish because it's a Jewish egg, but he wouldn't be related to this woman. Now you're saying, should we dafka want that because we don't want this woman to lose her status
of the mom.
Right, but then, right.
Well, there is no mother, but it's better for there to be no mother halakhically than for there to be a different person.
Yeah. See, usually the cases that I've dealt with are usually cases of the woman, her eggs weren't good, but she could carry. So that was the cases that I've dealt with, and we got Jewish eggs. That's what Dovid Cohen wanted that we should do, and then we didn't have to do any gerus, and then she would be, according to this, she would be the. The one carrying could also be the mother. And, see, they say from a Rosh about two, both of being moms or whatever. But I don't know if there's an Indian dafka to you know, like psychologically, you don't want this other woman to be the, you want to be the mother, whoever, you know, this woman, because then you get into questions of, according to some, you know, then I have another shita that you would need a geiris l'chumra. That's what we do a geiris l'chumra. If David Feinstein told me once, you should do a geiris l'chumra unless they're both, you know, because maybe you can have a different way of learning the Gemara, whatever. But that's, so I don't know if we're going to go out of our way. Dafka, it's my experience has been that it's that I had another case where it's very hard to get a Jewish carrier.
Right.
It's easier to get Jewish eggs, but a Jewish carrier is not so easy to get. So I know someone who was looking for a Jewish carrier, and they weren't so successful in. Yeah. Now, there's one other nakuda that has to be ironed out, and that's the Tosfos in Ksubis. On page 7. So. Yeah.
Do babies need
Yeah, so that's a question about Ger Carton, whether they need Kabbalah Smith, that's a whole separate. But there's a famous Gemara here on page 7, Ger Katan Matbilin Osol Das Bezdin. And the Gemara says it works because Zachin La'adim Shalom B'fanim. You know, this is a very Shiloh for day schools. Meaning, sometimes you have Ger Katan who applies to a day school. And I'll tell you a story. I'll leave out all the names. All names will be left out for the... No. But this was a story. Somebody told me the story firsthand. The kid applied to the day school. And it was a regular... It was a Ger Katan. He applied to the day school. And the Gemara says, how does it work? The Geirus of a Ger Katan was of Zachin. Zachin La'adam... Shalom
B'fonov. Andy Ashri, please go to the nurse's office now.
So the Bezdin is Zocha for the Vlad, if he becomes a Jew. So the question is, what if the parents who adopted this, a lot of times, you know, you have a situation where they can't conceive and they adopt some baby from some foreign country, and they do a Ger Katan on him, because it's not easy to get a Jewish kid, because Jews usually are not going to relinquish their children. But for the goyim from foreign countries, so it's not as difficult. So, but what happens if the parents aren't fully from? So there's a discussion whether the geirus is good or not, because maybe it's only considered a schus, and the geirus works through schia. It's only a schus if you're going to be grown up in a house of shomer Torah mitzvos. Because if not, then you're going to be Jewish, right? And then you're going to be growing up in a house that's not going to be keeping, and then you're going to, maybe that's not a schus to be a Jew, to put yourself into a situation to make you a Jew when you're not going to be fulfilling, when you can be brought up in. So this is like a big thing. So one of the day schools in the, you know, the general area had this case, and I'm sure it's much more than one. But I'm just giving you one story that someone shared with me, and they said that. That we want to, his kid is applying, to, you know, his parents are applying for him to come into the day school. And the principal, I won't say, is a Talmud of this Rav. And this Rav follows the Shita that if you're not from, then the Geirus is not good, so we're not going to accept the child.
Wow.
And then another noted Rav called up and said, no. That you know, that it is what to say that it's a schus to be a Jew, even if you're not going to be from. And that was the big... So the person who was had the... was the head of the day school was from this school of thought of that it, that wasn't good, so they didn't they rejected the kid. He didn't get in, and that was the you know so that's a big discussion of is the idea of gayrus being a schus is only if you're gonna grow up in a home that's gonna and then there are different things you know what how from does the house have to be. You know, to okay, but Logeit for our Shaila, there is an opinion that says that Tzchiyah for a cotton is only a din the Rabban, because Tzchiyah is mitam shlichus, and you can't do shlichus for a cotton. So maybe the whole gear cotton is he's a Jew mit the Rabban. So Tosus asks the question, and if you hold Tzchiyah as mitam shlichus, if you hold Tzad mitam shlichus, then you could make a Tzchiyah for even for a cotton. But Tosus says there's a Mefarish Gemara that says their concept of ger cotton midoraisa. So what is that? How does that work? So Tosus says, but in the case where the kid converts inside the mother's womb, that is deraisa. That is ger midoraisa. So Rabbi Akiva Ege asks the question, why is that different? If you assume that to be a Jew, you need a schia, and the Bezdin is doing a schia on behalf of this, so why is it different than if it's a, if the kid who's already 2 years old, who's converting, or he's converting inside the mother's womb? That's Rabbi Akiva Eger on page 9 asked this question.
Aiden Babakov, please come to my office immediately.
And on the first hour was go a little further down. We call Mokom. First word was we call Mokom. Gary said, "Come, came the time of the time of the cotton lace was here."
There's showcases right now.
Mama Shavu again.
304.
Hashem,
there's showcases right now in room 304.
So why is it different? Rabbi Kivagi wants to know why is it different. What's how are you gonna if the schia doesn't work with the raisa? Why should this case be different? That was the kasha. Of Rabbi Akiva Eger. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says to answer this. So in that same Maamar of Avraham Yitzchak Halevi Kilov says on page 13, he wants to answer up Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha on Tosis, because Tosis says that it Tosis on in Yud Aleph and Ksubas says you can gear cotton even if you hold chiyah lav mitam is mitam shlichus and gerus normally for ger cotton to rabbanim, but a case of uberish in this guy it'll be deraisa. So why is that? So he says on page 13, al pi dvarim nira levaya zikir divrei tosef ksubas the uberish in this guy bena ger dvar Torah fiksha Rabbi Akiva Eger bichidushov v'shitosim de gerus us chiyah shebezan zochim leger chay kosev de ger cotton magbilo sol das bezan elan min rabbanim ein chiyah lekotten me'at Torah im kei madul uber is chiyah me'at Torah. Why is Uber different? So that was the kasha. So he answers like this. Page 2, look on page now 14, the second paragraph that begins Achen. He says, L'vareinu muvanim divrei tosis. Eimchol geiris, he says, the two types, parts of geiris. Shnei chalakim. Echad yitziyah mitumas hagoyim. One is yitziyah from being a goy. Sheini knisa l'kedushis Yisrael. Like the Rambam says about Avodim, Shetuvlu Kibla Mitzvah, Shevet Chayavim Lem, Sheyatsu Michal Goyim, Uchlal Yisrael Lobo. That's the famous Lashon of that an Evet Kanani is Dina Keisha, but it's Yotsu Michal Achim, and he didn't come to Klal Yisrael. And Kain Anu Nomar, Shamila Vatfila, so he says when you're doing the Geirus, That takes away. Okay, you could argue with this part, but he wants to say that that takes away Tumas Goyim and the Kabbalah's mitzvahs brings it to Kedush Yisrael. So he says, Kol tuma posetes mitfila b'mikva, kami mitovol tovol bal korcha, etc. So he says like this, that, so he said, keep going further down. What deal with tefillas geirus? A little further down, he says, "Masha kosher tosis a bezin zocha avor agir hayin haknisa liyadus shibali de kabbalas mitzvus." The uber shetovla imo, so he says, the uber that's tovla imo vayotza mitumas agoyim, right? Nichnas the kedusha Israel. So he says that there, the way it's going to work is that the mikvah is going to take out the tuma aspect, and now the Uber could potentially become a Jew. In other words, he's saying maybe the way it's going to work, the Geirus in that case,
he doesn't need Kabbalah mitzvot then,
because he's going to be inside the mother, so he lost his tumma, and then it's perhaps shot that the Bezdin now is going to have to be zocher in it, because he's going to be born from a Jewish mother who he now could be related to, because he lost the akum of himself, and therefore that would be a deraisa, as opposed to a 2-year-old that's converted that will be solely through zchia. And if zchia is mitam shlichus, it wouldn't work for cotton. So that was his idea of trying to answer up the kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. But the main point that I was trying to focus on is, you know, that idea of what makes somebody a Jew, that we saw here, that it's not automatic that you're born from a Jewish woman that you become a Jew if you're conceived as a goy, because then if that would be the case, then why would you need the conversion? And why would you need Bezdin to know about it, the pregnancy, according to Noda Yehuda?
Right.
You're going to be Jewish anyway. But it sounds from the Noda Yehuda, you wouldn't be Jewish if the Bezdin doesn't realize that you exist, that she's pregnant. So, again, there could be other approaches and other things, but this is the Mahalach that spoke most to me when I was learning this Inyan. So since it was brought up a couple of weeks ago, whenever we met, so that's what I wanted to present to you here. Okay.
I have a couple.
Should I stop?
That last thing at the end, but is it also that the Uber is like Yerethimo, so the conversion there is like he's. It is someone who's able to be to have Kabbalah Ol Mitzvot, because it's like through the mom.
Well, in other words, since the Uber, the woman was pregnant and she went to the mikvah, the Shem Geirus, and that's Chal on him, but he's saying maybe it's Chal on him
as an extension of her, like her.
But he's saying, but right, but maybe that's only, he wants to suggest that maybe that's only the part of the Geirus of that Yotzim Michlal Akum. And the part of Nichnas Lekdushis Israel will come, like you said originally, by the birth. And then that would be Daraisa. Because there wouldn't be, okay, maybe. So that's why he answers up Rabbi Kivei Agis Kasha. Why is that different than a regular Ger Katan, which Tosis holds Lamad Omar Schimitam Shlichus is only the Rabbana.
On that note, I mean, I just opened up because I have notes on this topic. I think the Avni Miluim says that Haba Hatalia, the one sugya goes by Lav Yerachimon, one sugya
right,
goes
right.
by.
Right, right. So you could
so
say that
question,
two,
you know,
right, the two sugyas are.
And if you say Yerachimon, then it doesn't need anything, and it's just a limb. It's just an extension of the mother, and
right.
The,
so then you wouldn't need.
Then you wouldn't need Gerut. But that right. Gemara that says
right.
The Chatzitza, the
right, but it's a little hard to. You could say, you know, there's a big what you sowed in learning Gemara. There's a very, very big you sowed. I think in the Sefer Kerem Yeshua, Shas Cohen. You know what I mean? Shas Cohen. Shas Cohen, his name is Rabbi Yeshua Cohen. He's I heard him once give a shiur in the Satmar Shul in Williamsburg many years ago. He lives, he's in Yerushalayim. He's in Rav Arusha's yeshiva.
What,
Chut Shal Chesed, yeah. So he's a big bucket shot. So he wrote a sefer on Derech Halim, but Kerem Shlomo. So he quotes from Rav Chaim Volozhin, and I think it's a good vort that he's going to say. And he says like this, basically all the machlokes in, I think Rav Chaim Volozhin from Rashi and Tosis and Shas, can be boiled down to one principle. That Rashi's shita is the Rambam, the Gaonim. When you're learning a sugya, you only have to care about this sugya. If there's another sugya that contradicts, so what? That's a different sugya, a different shita. So any kasha that Tosis asks from another Gemara doesn't lomafria, because the machlokas are sugya. But what's Tosis Ashita? Tosis Ashita is that what?
Harmonize,
right. In other words, the sugi here, the sugi here, they contradict, so we're going to have to give it teretz, even though this teretz might be what?
So there's two shkiyas.
A doichak. Right, exactly. Right. But we're gonna mash it in that they could both, what is that called? Oh, sorry, what's heard of word in the name of Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig? This is the word he said, it's Emes of word. He says the definition of pilpul is when you assume everyone else is assuming everyone else's assumptions. That's what pilpul is.
It's very nice.
So
that's great.
So Tosis was the Bali pilpul. In other words, they're assuming that this sugi was also assuming what the other sugi was assuming, and therefore we have to bring the harmonize. But Rashi says no, and Rabbi Kahanik said the best example. Imam Hashem, the famous question about what's Seis HaKochavim? Is it, three quarters of a meal or four meals? It's Stira. So Tosis has to come up with a thing to try to harmonize both. And the Gra and the Gonim, they can, no, it's two different, Sugi has to do, they have a different type of teretz that the Gaon said that the Dal and Minlim wasn't really Seis HaKochavim. It's just absolute dark. Not a halakha question.
Right, it's not a halakha, right.
But Tosis is right. The Tosis was the first. They were the Balei Pilpul because they learned Shas that everything had to be harmonized, and the Gaonim and the Rashi and the Rambam, they didn't learn that way, and that's like a whole different way of. Of learning Shas and then making halachic conclusions based on that, because Tosis makes his own halachic conclusions based on his answers to these questions. And the question is which way to go? And that changes the whole, so that one yisod is like a mafteach to how are you supposed to learn Shas when you're learning it, Aliba de Hilchas and things like that. That's why Tosis will come to conclusions that, and Tosis is always very interesting because he comes with these new ideas and these new things. Whereas the Gaonim just hold, some once in a while Tosis will say machlokas ha-sugyas, but usually they don't try to do that. The tougher way is to try to come up with this new thing to as you used to use, harmonize.
Can you learn Gemara one way, halacha the other?
Yeah, I mean. So that's the question: How you machria? Like, for example, this machlokas Rabbeinu Tam with the Zmanim, the Shulchan Aruch follows Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah.
That's it. It's interesting. All the so I'm a big believer in Rabbeinu Tam. Shulchan Aruch fasting like doesn't even quote that there's another shita. Rabbeinu Tam is it. That's why now we keep. We do 96 minutes for Motzei Shabbos, but now 16.1 degrees, which is more than 96. So the Yontif over 10.02. And my wife, she goes along, so it's good. 10.02. That's where we wouldn't make do Malacha before 10.02, because we want to do And Rabbi Blank said to me, if you don't do 16.1 degrees, then you're not really keeping Rabbeinu Tam. So during most of the year, 16.1 is before 96. But we always follow 96 L'chumra, and when 16.1 is more, the 96 will do the 16.1. Because Rabbeinu Tam, it's a child of a Daraisa, Skila. But the other people say, no, we have a Mesorah, you know, and of the Gaonim, of the Vilna Gaon, and you know, so that's a whole, that's also a whole.
We also have eyes, we can see three stars outside.
Oh, right, so then.
Even with the light pollution today.
So that's a question. So what is Rabbeinu Tam going to do about that? So Rabbeinu Tam has an answer to that too. You know, but sometimes people want to make Rabbeinu Tam look like you know, like he's, but maybe not.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you what the Tosaf Yehuda Chassid says. Rabbeinu Tam sheet is the three stars are only three stars in the west when the sun is setting. So those three stars you're not going to see till much later, because the sun is setting there. So the sun has to be very much below the horizon for to see the three stars in the east. That you can see, but maybe the din of the three stars is dafka three stars in the west. Or you could say no, mehekitesi, any three stars. Yeah. So that's that could be. But it's fascinating. The machlokas. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra and this about one Shabbos ends. It's almost as fascinating as the question of the international dateline. But yeah.
Could a colorblind person? Could a colorblind person be trained in Maros? But what I mean by that is as follows: not that they can't see the colors themselves, but they can see the colors, but sometimes the shades are off or whatnot. I don't know how to check for it, but I'm just saying in general, like if it's a matter of shading, then they may be able to tell the difference between that.
Colorblind, you know, someone just said some quoting somebody, but I'm of the opinion colorblind people should not pass in Maris. Period.
Okay. Kohanim and Kevarochel, Kohanim and Maris and Machpelah.
Kohanim should not go to any farm. Even Kivrei Tzaddikim.
Okay. What about Kvarim that we know people are not buried in? Like the Rambam's not buried and the Rambam's different.
I don't know who's buried. You know, I never did. Yeah.
So why are you going there?
Okay, like let's say you go up to the attraction.
Okay.
Like, it's like, oh, you know, like.
I don't know.
Like, oh, this is Lot's wife. In the thing.
Yeah,
like,
Lot's wife, like, okay.
That's what you
mean. I don't know. I don't know. I would not. You know, because I never undug it and looked in the grave to see what's there or what's not there, and I'm not planning to. And
like in general, Kohanim
should not be metame.
Even for
tzaddikim. Okay.
What if it's constructed in a certain way?
No, it could be if you're not in the oil or whatever. You could.
Like the Bible or something like that.
No, the shiva on the madrigals on the side. That what you're talking about? Like on the outside.
Yeah, you can be outside the, you know, you're not being mile on the maze. But someone wrote a whole book on this topic. Kivrei Tzaddikim, not Matamim, but.
Rabbi wrote some stuff on
it. Yeah, but we don't do that. You know.
I forgot what Rabbi said about Duchening in Eilat. Duchening in Eilat.
Duchening in Eilat.
Meaning Ashkenazim.
What's the meaning?
Different people. I mean, I've seen different people say different things. I don't know what
the Ashkenazim who live in Eilat all year round. I'm saying if they.
I don't know.
What do they do?
They don't do Yom Tov Sheni.
Shlomo Zalman says
to do.
Okay, if Shlomo Zalman said it, Yeshal Milas.
And the last one.
Yeah.
Because
really, you can do it in Chodesh, but we don't do it as a minhag. So
yeah, that's one right. I think he felt that they should do it. But I will tell you that there are places in Eretz Yisrael, like in Beit Shan, where, like, Kibbutz Tirat Tzvi, for example, has the minhag not to duchen during the week, because it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. They only duchen on Shabbos.
Okay, look, the different minhagim of...
No, it's Beit Shan. It's the Mishnah.
But yeah, you have to see what the minhag is in this... Yeah. Because, you know, you always get afraid of the spooky stories with the Vilna Gaon who wanted to reinstitute and the shul burnt down. So you don't want to start up against Minhagim. Okay. Unless you're Sephardi and you don't have that Minhag, so you can... but you should keep the Minhag. I don't know what Rosh Shlomo Zalman said exactly, so you have to check what the minig is. So I'm not sure, but check and see what the and even if he said it, but if it wasn't accepted, you know, also you should. Meaning, I take it back. When I said you can be yotzei from Lishmach out of Shlomo Zalman, but that's only if it all. In this case, I take back what I said. I mean, only if it, therefore, was the accepted minhag in there.
Okay, and the last question is just to clarify: fruits of the Shivas Haminim that are not grown in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so like grapes or dates, whatever it is. Do you still make an alahitz? I'm saying as the main shalosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just anything that would have potentially been one of the Shabbos Aminim.
Even if it's not from there. Even the grapes from California.
From Beit Sha'an.
There
are poskim who say to do 2 days of Yom Tov in Eilat. I don't know if anybody goes by that. I know Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul in Or LeZion. I think he writes that explicitly.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul.
It's interesting.
Really?
Well, we're all a fan. I'm a fan also.
I'm from the... Even though the, you know, Rav Avadya argued with him,
sure.
But he respected him.
Sure, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
But his son came out with a sefer. I just bought, Or LeZion from his son.
Wow.
On Hilchas Pesach.
Nice.
So.
He definitely has some interesting.
Yeah, he has interesting things. Very different than Rav Avadya.
Definitely.
He was into svaras and.
Yeah.
Rav Avadya was not into just saying a svara and then being paskening with the svara. He was, if he had a good svara, he held from his a good svara. Like let's say he was more like a Litvisha type and
like Rav Moshe.
Yeah, like Rav Moshe. And Rav David Cohen once said over. Someone played to me something from David Lichtenstein's
headlines.
His radio show. He's. It was actually the Tzitz Eliezer has it. Even though Rav David Cohen is a very big chassid of the Tzitz Eliezer when it comes to his psak and abortions, but he's meaning on the lenient side up to a certain time. And Rav Moshe, so he says to Rav Moshe, this is a big yisod. He says Rav Moshe said that the Tosfos about the you know that seemingly was being made to is probably a Talmid Torah. So Tzitz Eliezer says, hey, what did you just say? You don't like the Tosfos, so you say Talmud Torah? So he says a word, which is that the Litvisha Mesorah of Psak Halacha was that you could pass it from the Sugya. If you learned like what we just did now. We learned up the Sugya, and we, but that wasn't the Mesorah of everybody, of the Hungarians and everybody. But so the Litvishers will learn up the Sugya and see what they thought comes out of the Sugya. But say... There was a Rishon that seems not the simple pshat. So you have to show cover to the Rishon. So you don't just say they're wrong. You say it's probably a Talmud.
Talmud Torah.
It's like the Vort. This Rav Shechter said over once in the Baruch, about Dover Charif. They came to Rav Chaim Volozhin. A woman had a shayla about Dover Charif for Kashrus. So Rav Chaim Volozhin asked her, was it a white onion or was it a black onion? And he said, whatever. He says, so the Talmidim afterwards said, Rebbe, why are you asking white onion, black? We never saw such a... So he said, because he held Me'ikir Adin that maybe the onions of today are not a Dover Charif. But the Shulchan Aruch says not that way. So how does it look? You're arguing with the Shulchan Aruch. But from the Sugya, he didn't think it came out that way. So you make a new Kimta. And say, oh, the Shulchan Aruch only meant this type of onion. But so, you know, so you shouldn't be, you know, but basically you're paskening from, but you have to be somebody who's with broad shoulders. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein, paskin, you know, the biggest one to me is the Rugged Shover. Because the Rugged Shover didn't even paskin with the Shulchan Aruch or the Magen. He stopped with the Rambam, Venose Caliph. In other words, he paskin based on the Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta, Mechilta, whatever, Rambam, Kesef Mishnah, and that's it. Anything else after that, Mechaber, Ramah, Shach, Taz, Mogen Avram, was not. And he passed it, wasn't that he said Shiurim, Little Pool of Alma. He wrote, people sent him Shilas throughout the world, and he passed you know, based on, so he, but you have to be somebody like the Rugachev to do that. You can't, you know, be, or Moshe Feinstein,
right,
of that caliber, you know, or else, you know, you're going to get yourself in hot water.
The Rav mentioned the Tzitz Eliezer on the topic of the Ubar, and I think he goes like the birth mother, and I think he brings Orla, Din Orla of the...
Yeah, so I was never into using these other halachas to pass it. You know,
right,
these gemaras that we did are...
Right, right.
You know, it's not...
They're not as far-fetched.
Interesting. To have a... Right, so that's why I liked what he had to say, because he worked with the,
mm-hmm,
the sugyas that had to do with people, right, and yichus of people, and not like a tree with, you know, an orla,
yeah,
and bring
that,
all those,
yeah,
things, etc.
Switching topics for a second, how do we really define the split between Ashkenazi and Sephardic Psak? Does it depend on the halacha? Like, if a totally new shaila comes up and there's a machlokas between Ashkenazi poskim and Sephardic poskim, does that, do we look at that as Ashkenazi versus Sephardi, or is it only things that there's a mesora that these kihilos did this, these kihilos did that, then we say there's a split?
That's a good question. I mean, some look at it, you know, like who the posek was, but you're right, maybe it should be based on what the, if this is based on something from, you know, the Mechaber or something, you know. But when it comes up, we'll deal with it.
Have you mentioned adoption before? I know there's discussion on this, but what does Rebbe hold in general about adoption or foster care? In terms of halachic issues like kibbutz or other things that come up?
Yeah, that's a very big big shaila, and you know, there was a famous, the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote the famous tshuva where he asked his adoption. But they supposedly, they said that maybe a shekhtar, somebody mentioned that he used to tell people to go to Rav Soloveitchik because he knew that. The same thing they say about the abortion sometimes. Some people say to go to... That's the question, whether is that a... What kind of mahalach is that? To send someone to a different posek that you don't really paskin like, but you... So... That's a question of Shasat Chak, you know, and things like that.
Someone else has to stop your Talmud.
What?
Someone else has to do the fact that this person asking the question is not going to Talmud.
Right.
So if you know that there's a particular Shita,
right,
this person has to shoot into
that. Right, so that's, but these are big, big in Yonim, you know, like, and the whole question of, like, you know, as I said, the whole question about surrogacy and all these things, you know, it's very, you know, when you deal with real life questions, like a couple came to me and say, you know, we can't have children together. We have a happy marriage and we're all good. And then we just found out that they can't father a child together. And this, so that's like a very, you can't get a more heart-wrenching situation. So that's where the concept of surrogacy and these other things become significant.
Right.
And
there's so many different factors.
Yeah.
What's the problem and what's...
Yeah. And so I think, that's why I say, I think that's the Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuvas on this topic, I think the most significant tshuvas that he wrote. You know... On the whole scope of what he wrote,
right,
is these inyanim. Yeah, it was allowing, you know, a different thing, allowing a sperm, you know, with sperm bank.
Without a ma'asebia, there's no mamzeut.
Yeah, things like that, you know. So,
you know, Ben Sion Meir Hayuziel wrote that same concept, like in the 30s, that without a ma'aseh biyah, there's no mamzerut.
So he wrote that in the thing.
Yeah,
right. He's good, yeah.
Mishpatei Uziel.
Yeah, Mishpatei Uziel is very fascinating.
Yeah.
What do you... Is it halakhically permissible for a woman who's never been married to opt to have children?